Blog Talk Radio.
For tuning in. Happy Monday, guys. I don't know if we're online or not. Keithlyn, are you there? Hello? Hello? Keithlyn.
Can you hear me? So she's having another technical difficulty. So we're just going to go to a little break, play a little music for a second, and come back to you all.
Okay, now
back.
I can hear you. Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Sorry about the mishap. Happy Monday, everyone.
Happy Monday.
Yes, our topic today will be about how you do not have to be rich or a millionaire to give back to your community. I hear a lot of people saying, well, if I was rich, I would help people out or help more people out. And it's not always just about the money. Sometimes your time is just as efficient than giving money.
If not even more valuable, actually.
Exactly. I just read a post, I think it was on WLBT's Facebook page, about some people that were in a third world country. They were making cookies out of dirt and feeding it to their children. That's how they were eating. So, I mean, I see people giving millions of dollars or more, you know, all the time, and still we have people that are starving. I just don't get it. Either someone is stealing or misappropriating the money or who knows what's going on. But I myself, I like to give my time and more than my money. But if I have to buy the actual product and give it, I would much rather do that. Like if I pass the one that's homeless or hungry or, you know, someone just asks for 50 cents or more, I say, no, what is it that you want? Because you never know what they're actually going to do with the money. They may buy drugs or liquor or whatever. So if they say they're hungry, I go and buy the meal and give it to them. I think that's more, I think it's more appropriate to give, you know, tangible things than money. That way you know they're getting exactly what they need.
Right. I think another thing is that, you know, collectivism, when we collectively work together, we all know that we are more progressive as a whole. So I think giving back also needs to be thought about on that level, not just doing something for somebody, but doing something for our community. You know, oftentimes we see other cultures coming to this country and being successful, sometimes surpassing, you know, us or their counterparts because of their ability to stick together and help each other. And, you know, we cannot expect people who are so far removed from our communities, like the superstars and the millionaires, to be the persons or the people to bear the responsibility of bringing us up. I think it's all, each of us individually, is something that we could do to give back, to make a difference. That does not have to be a monetary donation. Personally, I think that giving back to the community and giving to the teenagers and developing relationships in forms of mentorship, a big brother, big sister, is a great way to not only give back to our community, but expose our youth to things that they normally wouldn't see. You know, even if it's just somebody who's gainfully employed and working every day. We don't say you have to be the CEO of your company to be a mentor, but some people just don't have the models that we think are the norm for some of us. You know, just seeing somebody live past 25 and have a job, that could be something that opens somebody's mind up to a teenager to say, oh, wow, there are other possibilities. So I always encourage people to give back through our youth, because I think that's sometimes an easy way for us to connect to people and put a face to, you know, what we're really trying to do in terms of building stronger, confident people, individuals in our community.
Definitely. I had Googled ACON because I recently ran across something that I was reading about him giving solar power to like 600 million people in Africa.
Oh, wow.
But I mean, everyone can't give that great amount. But like me in my neighborhood, I live in Byram. I go to the Mazio's that's on Sidewell Road, and the leftover pizza that they throw away, they will give it to you. All you have to do is go to a restaurant in your community. They will give it to you to give to, you know, homeless people or to a homeless shelter, you know, because that's my pet peeve. I hate to see food wasting, especially since I know that there are people out here that are starving, just like the story I said when we first came on air about the people feeding their children dirt. They're just, you know, fixing it into a circle, making them think it's a cookie. They said the recipe, they do add flour, a little flour and a little sugar when they can, but it's mainly consists of water and dirt. I mean, I don't even see how their system can digest this. But the whole point is, I'm sure there is some kind of way that people can actually not have to give money, but donate cans of food. You don't even have to go as far as outside of your community or to another country, because we have people right here in the U.S. who are starving. I see them all the time. I'm passing them all the time. I'm giving them food all the time. You can do this in each person can do this in their own community. Go to a restaurant or a grocery store. You know that they throw food away. Before they throw the food away, you can ask them to give it to you, and you can disperse it, you know, at your leisure, wherever you see people gathered up. You know, if you know someone who may not necessarily be homeless, but is just, you know, can't really provide the basics, they may can provide shelter, but not that much food for their children, you can give it to them. It's not that hard.
Right. I think another way that you can give is if we think about the resources that we all possess, the talents, things that are innately unique to us, sharing, you know, knowledge is power, and we know that sharing information is also a good source of way of giving back. So, like, I know some people, like, let's say you're a financial planner, you know, that's what you do professionally. Going into your community and giving a seminar, a one-hour workshop on Saturday about, you know, finances, how to budget. Because some of these things, even though they're tools that we feel like people should have, some some of us, we don't have them. We didn't get them. Nobody taught. Our parents didn't know. So those are things that did not get transferred down to us. So I always think about little things that talents that we have that we could bring back to our communities to help build people up. You're good at dancing. You're a dancer, or you teach a Zumba class. You know, offer a free class in your community for people who can't afford to go to the gym but they want to be in good shape. Or you're, you know, personal trainer or a dietitian, like, you know, offer some nutrition. You know, just simple things that we could just give back to our community. And there are a lot of community centers that would love to have people come in and share their expertise, you know, and they wouldn't charge you to use a space or, you know, a room in a lot of the community centers. So I think that's a great way to give back as well.
Definitely. I totally agree with that. You know, everybody have their own talent, and to each is given a measure of talent, and your time is also just as valuable as money or giving food. So I would suggest, because I see plenty of children running around here, I don't know if the parents are at work or whatever it is that they're doing, but they're idle. They don't have anything constructive to do. If you're a stay-at-home mom or if you're off work, you know, you just sitting around on a Saturday, what would it hurt you to gather up some kids, teach them a craft if you're good at your hand, with your hands, you know, like making things, a carpenter, you know, whatever your talent is, what would it hurt you to take some time out to show a kid something constructive? Because if they don't have anything constructive to do, then, you know, they're going to be breaking in your house, you know, fighting. We see all these YouTube videos or whatever you call those posts where kids are just sitting around because they don't have anything to do. They're fighting, they're having sex, they're having kids, they're doing all kind of stuff that they have no business doing because they need something constructive to do. So yes, it's our responsibility as adults, because even some adults don't even know. So when you don't, when you're dealing with children and adults who don't know and then you do know, what would it hurt you or kill you to help someone in need? You can see that they need a little constructive criticism or, you know, just a constructive way to do something better than they're doing now. I mean, fighting and breaking in people's houses, that's not anything constructive. That's not going to do nothing, land them in jail or dead.
Right, so I think there's two parts to this too. Like, why? What prevents people from giving back? Some people who do have the ability, the time, the skill to offer something. What prevents them from giving back? And
A lot of times when I'm talking to people, or you know, reading or looking on Facebook, I hear a lot of people with the mind frame, as, you know, it's not my responsibility, they're not my children, and, you know, whatever selfish reasons they have. And no, you don't owe anybody anything. No one owes anybody anything. But think about, if you just have everything going on for you and you just sitting all glamorous and happy with you and your children on a house on the hill while everybody else is starving, struggling, eventually it's going to be your concern. Because eventually, after they have ramshacked everybody else's houses around your house, yours will be next. They're going to eventually affect your children, your life, your home. So why not think outside of your house?
And that's the problem, that we've moved so far away from the village mindset. Because if you are under the auspices that it takes a village, then you're not going to stray away from people who need help. You're going to feel responsible. And I think that's part of what we've experienced as people of African descent being brought to this country. It's like we've lost so many things that are innately inherent to who we are. So our collectivism, you know, we work with the group. We don't, in a village, where we came from, you just didn't worry about yourself and your family. That's not how we operated. We worried about everybody. That's how come we were able to, you know, still survive and thrive. And now everybody is, it's all about me, the individualistic American, you know, pull yourself up from your bootstrap type of ideology is what is causing us to suffer as a group. Now, yes, some successful people Yeah, okay. Millionaire from billionaire African Americans, but what about the hundreds of thousands of millions of people who still live in poverty, you know, in 2015, when we do have opportunities, but we also have a lot of barriers, and sometimes we are those barriers ourselves. We look down on each other. We're not as helpful. We're not supportive. We're not, you know, pulling each other up.
And also, I think it's because of fear. You know, people are afraid to help someone because they might outdo them. They may be better than them,
mm-hmm.
you know. They may take that help and run with it, you know. It's like
mm-hmm.
the crabs in a barrel syndrome, you know. They may feel like, well, if I help this person, they may pull me down in the ditch. You know, you have to, with everything, you have to face your fear. So what? I'm a spiritual person, and I believe in God. So I believe if I'm helping somebody, who cares what their motives is toward me? I'm not afraid.
Right.
If they try to do something to hurt me, you know, they may form a weapon against me that doesn't mean it's going to succeed. So I'm not afraid to help my enemy. I do it all the time. I help people who I know don't like me, know who lie on me, know who say, I know they say things bad about me. I'd be the first person to volunteer to help them. And I bring my children along. I volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
It's plenty of places you can sign up and Google. I bring my children along to show them, to let them know it's good for you to help others. And it helps them appreciate what they have when they realize it's people who have less than them. They were like, dang. I took my son to volunteer at Stew Pot and God, what's that place? It's on Capitol Street. And he came home. He was like, man, I thought all the stuff that you didn't buy me, you know, I thought it was a really big deal. But he realized that it wasn't really that big of a deal because I won't buy him Jordans or, you know, all these name brands. Stuff that he's always concerned about when he realized it was people who have less than him. Some people don't even have a room, no less their own room. Some people don't have a roof over their head. Some people are sleeping under a bridge on top of rocks. So it helps your children be more realistic in their view of the world instead of always talking about me, me, my room. You know, children normally don't like to share. You have to teach them to share, even with their siblings. And then when they go to public school, they have to learn how to share with other kids. But then you need to stretch your father in it. You know, you need to take them and help, let them volunteer places where people don't have a house,
mm-hmm.
don't have clothes where they can change every day. It'll help them be more less to bully people, because, you know, children who are getting bullied in school, it's always about either how they look or how they dress. They can't afford everything else that everyone else is wearing. So
mm-hmm.
when they're volunteering and helping these people and they're saying that there are people who are less fortunate than them, they'll be less prone to pick on people.
Yeah, because it's all about empathy. And people have, that's what I believe the problem is. Sometimes in the kids, it's even more challenging to empathize with somebody. But if they've never been able to step outside of their own experience and say, oh, damn, wow, what would that be like if I was that person, you know? And you're exactly correct. When you expose them to things like this, it allows them to empathize with people, and being able to be more empathetic just gives people heart, and they're less likely to judge. You know, I would tell my kids, you know, the kids I would see, they would, you know, sometimes like, you know, rag on other kids about, well, this kid, he had that fake polo shirt on or da da da. And I always used to tell them, do you not think that if that kid had in their power the ability to go buy Jordans, they wouldn't? Do you think that they couldn't walk in a polo shirt store and get 5 shirts, they wouldn't? Kids are not in control of what they buy. It's their parents. If their parents can't afford it, what should they do? I always used to tell these kids, what should this kid do? He wants Jordans. His mom can't afford it. What will you do? Like, kids are not able to really think outside of themselves unless they're trained and exposed to things. So we have to do better, because oftentimes our kids, you know, are the kids who look the fresh and the flyest, but they make straight F's and D's. We too often overcompensate about our own financial limits because we can't do these things. We somehow make a way out of no way when that's not the priority, to get our kids Jordans. Yeah, you don't want your kid to be teased at school, but you have to build them up in other ways. I'm going out and spend $200 on a pair of shoes when they are not, they're going to school and literally making D's and F's. What message is that sending? You can look good,
which
you're sitting.
Which that isn't even important in life. That's the whole point of training them up and teaching them different people, different culture, you know, letting them, you know, volunteer and interact with different races, you know, different financial situations. I mean, that's not life. You're supposed to be training up a child to go out in the world on their own eventually. You don't want no narcissistic, selfish ass, you know, me, my type of person, you know, as an adult. Because, I mean, how they are when they're young is how they're going to be when they're grown. So you,
right.
Even if you had trained your child to be rich or successful, and they are, and all they think about is talking down to people, not helping people,
mm-hmm.
Not sympathizing, talking down, making them, belittling them, making them feel less than them based on their financial status. I mean, that's not life. That's not how it should be. They should be able to interact with anybody, no matter what their nationality is, what their financial situation is. They should be able to treat a person with respect. Help a person out when they see them in need. Because just because a person is rich don't ever mean that they won't never need help. And you can be rich one day and broke the next, just depending on your situation.
Well, and I agree. And I think, you know, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and we were talking about, you know, interacting or, what's the word? I was going to say interacting with youth that we see on the street if they're being extremely inappropriate or they're being rude or they're being disrespectful. Like, when should you interject yourself in, or if you should do it at all? Now, I do it all the time. If I see teens like this, like I've been on the subway before in New York, and I hear kids just like, I mean, the profanity is just spewing. Like, I know how it is. I know when I used to get with my friends, I say words that I wouldn't dare say around my mom or my family. But it was just, this time it was just so extreme. And I just said, I walked over to them and kind of got in that conversation a little bit. And I said, I know that there's other words that you guys could use. I get it. You're having a personal conversation. You're expressing yourself, but using a lot of profanity. Do you think you can, like, tone it down? And they were like, oh, yeah, no problem. Sorry. Da, da, da. I checked kids so many times. I had a young man standing in front of me on the train before, and his pants were hanging so low below his butt. And all I saw was his boxers. And I told him, I need you to either turn your body around the other way or pull your pants up because I don't want to see your ass. And he was a little embarrassed. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry, ma'am. He even called me ma'am. It's like, I don't have a problem, but I know on the other flip side, people feel like you should not interject yourself. These kids are crazy. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. But it's all in the approach. That's my opinion. What do you think about that, Charity?
I totally agree. I want to use as an example, I attend Mount Way Baptist Church right over by E&L Barbecue, and we always go out in the community because, you know, a lot of people aren't going to bring, even if they don't have anything to do, they're not going to bring their children to church. So as a teenager, we used to go out into the community, give the kids sandwiches, you know. We used to bring clothes that we outgrew, name brand or not, as long as they were fairly clean and looked fairly decent. We would pass them out to the people in the community. I mean, we did a whole lot of stuff. Okay, but my point is this. Some of those kids, we even took them to the movies, you know, places like Carnival. Some of those kids had never, ever been to the movies before, ever in their life.
Wow.
They were so excited. It meant so much to them. What was an extra $7 or $8 to take another kid in your neighborhood besides your children to the movies? Because you don't know what kind of situation they're living in with their parents. They may be the kind of parents that sit around, you know, don't want to work on welfare, just sit around and drink and play cards. Because I pass by people doing this just, you know, in certain neighborhoods. I hate to say it, but I see a lot of black men all cuddled up, like, on the side of the road or at a gas station, and they're not doing nothing all day long, just sitting there. And then they have children. They have children. They have families that they're supposed to be, you know, providing for, paying attention, you know. So you never know what a child is going through in their home, And you never know how far something so little as you volunteering your time, you volunteering an extra $8 to take another child to the movies with you, just to show them that there's something different outside of their home.
Right. And that's definitely a big part of giving back, you know, giving back to those who are really going to be able to benefit from it and then pay it forward, you know. And I feel like we, wherever we are in our lives, we have to realize we owe it to someone. Of course, God, you know, acknowledging that. But it's somebody else to help you get to where you are. No one is where they are because of just, you just woke up like that. That's not the case. So even if we start from there, like, who even if it was, let's say, as a school teacher who then passed on, you know, or somebody who just encouraged you, but they're passed on. What about going back to that school and giving your time, or creating, you know, some of us who are financially able, creating a scholarship in that person's name, and you personally deciding who gets awarded that. You know, like you said, charity, sometimes funds are misappropriated and people are giving. You know, all these people gave to Hurricane Katrina, all these rappers and all this gave. What about the people in the projects? Did that money ever even touch them? Like, sometimes you may have to just get on the ground and go into the projects, or no, you just don't want to hand people money, but redevelop their neighborhood, put a playground and a basketball. You know, you go to some places, some projects, like the basketball courts, no nets, or things are falling apart. Like, that's another way, people who are financial aid that you can actually make a difference, and not just donating to PETA or the animal rights. You know, sometimes we get high and fancy and start donating to things that really, at the end of the day, I'm sorry to say, in my opinion, doesn't matter in our communities. It's not going to make us any better. It's not going to make us shine any brighter. It's frivolousness. Let's put our money and our energy and our time back into places that really are going to benefit.
Definitely, because people. You know, if
not
you go
a,
in person. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
I said not just a tax write-off, but help somebody for real.
Okay, yeah. You know for sure if you go in person and volunteer your time or take your canned goods or whatever it is that you're bringing in person and pass it out yourself, you know exactly where your stuff is going versus
right.
Just sending some money in, you know, to a random place you don't know across the country or, you know, wherever, because you never know what they're doing with the money. But our whole point is this. You don't have to wait to be rich or a millionaire to give your
right.
time, to give a little $8 to take another kid to the movies. You don't even have to have any children. You could just take some time out to, you know, to show a child that someone cares about them. And that one little situation could inspire that child to say, well, you know what, it is some good people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It may inspire
that's
them
cool.
to do something better than what they're doing. It may inspire them to want to go to school, finish school. You just never know how something so small can touch a child's life or a person's life. You never know. It doesn't have to be $1 million or $100,000. It could be something so simple.
And that's our message today, that we all have the power to make a difference, to do something differently. And we just have to, A, carve out some time, and B, find what we're passionate about and just do it. It's really that simple.
Yes. Well, our time is wrapping up. We definitely appreciate everyone for tuning in. Always remember, if no one believes in you, remember God believes in you and believe in yourself. And we love y'all, and we can't wait to hear y'all opinions on the show. Please email us or call in.
Thank you, guys. Until next week.
Bye.